Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Spiritual Inspire podcast. Please join the channel, share this content, and leave a comment. My guests today are two, in fact. That's why I use the plural. And this is the first time when I have two guests from two different locations. So one is David Maria. And the other one is his, I can say, soulmate, Vivica. So thank you to both of you for joining me today.
Just one point of clarification. She's not my soulmate.
Okay, so my bad.
We are, well, there's no way that you would really know. We are the same soul. We're one soul.
Interesting.
I am her and she is me. Even though, as you can see, she's dissolving back into spirit and coming back into form constantly right now.
And we'll discuss about that connection. But David, I would like to start with you because you were awakened or made to remember who you are at later stage in life, I think around the late 60s or beginning of your 70s. So,
well into the 70s.
So, isn't that amazing that the divine doesn't have an age limit to jolt us and make us remember and tell us to be in service?
No one. Even though I've always been somewhat awakened, I've always been in service, et cetera, et cetera. No one was more surprised than I was when this happened.
Wow. And then your journey took you to Kenya, out of all places in Africa. Some people go to, you know, Sedona or Egypt or any other known location, but you're taken to Kenya, and there you went through an amazing initiation, becoming the 13th elder of Mount Kenya. And you're not out of their culture, in fact, and not from someone from an outsider. You are not belonging there, but you were accepted. Why?
The simple answer is because it's fated. So you have to think in terms of, or feel in terms of, multiple lives. So I have been a seer in Mount Kenya and Mount Kirinaga many, many times. I've gone through the initiations many times. I've gone into the mountain many times. So has Vivica. That has happened too. So incarnationally, it makes perfect sense. And also, even though it doesn't need to make sense, never does. But the other side of it is that we are becoming and remembering that we are all one people. And in essence, there are no differences between us. I mean, yes, we all look different. We all are unique in the fractal incarnation that we are from source. And at the same time, we are all the same being. And so it was fated for me to be able to go there. It had to be the way that it was, so that people that look at things from an exterior point of view rather than interior, they would never be able to say, well, he just studied a bunch of books and read a bunch of stuff about Africa, yada yada, and made certain assumptions and summarized, etc. No, it had to be done very publicly so that everybody would know that I was called by soul, by spirit, by God to come there and to receive this. And the even bigger piece of this is that at the exact same moment that I was being initiated in 2018, Vivica was also being initiated in Finland In the exact same moment, she had a full body Kundalini experience, awakening, with the same lightning bolts coming down through her that I experienced. This is what I mean by we're one soul.
Yes, indeed. And Vivica, I know you went through some experience as well, not necessarily pleasant, but as I think of it, it's a lesson for everything we go through. How did you find David, and how did you really know that you have to work with him, that you are one?
Yeah, and when David told about that I had also this Kundalini awakening, full body Kundalini awakening experience in Finland, exactly in the same time when David were initiated. And after that experience, I started to receive every night different downloads and different transmissions, and our connection between me and David started to open up, and we started to feel each other. Even we didn't know what it is in this moment. And this is manifest to me like deep, deep longing. And I start to look for something. I didn't know what it was. And my higher self also told me that I need to learn English. I start to learn English. It's still in process. So I'm sorry for my English. And I start to look different videos and search in internet. And I didn't have any clue what I trying to find. But one day when I saw one of David's interviews with Elizabeth Wood, my heart, when I heard his voice, my heart recognized him at the same moment, because our voice is also our signature, our soul signature. So it was so familiar for me, and I felt such a tenderness in my heart, and such a deep love that I felt only to Creator before. It's a grace. And in this moment, I knew just that he's really, really dear soul to me. I didn't know who he is. His voice, it was like a love song to my heart directly. Just my heart opened so wide when I heard his voice. And then I went to his class, and this was Freedom from the Known. And of course, in this class, I felt also this deep, deep connection with his heart. And I also realized that when David get transmissions, the same transmission came through me also exactly in the same moment when David received this transmission.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I start to share my experience with David, and our connection just deepened and deepened, and sometimes I saw him in my meditations, and in one meditation, David also part of Monad, so Monad connected to me, and it was David's voice, and David gave me a present, and I told me I wrote him about all my experiences, and then one day we just decided that we do this meeting in Zoom, and you can tell David about that maybe.
When she came to the first class, I didn't know who she was. To me, it was just a name on a spreadsheet. But when she came into the class, just like we are now, and I saw her, I instantly, not even immediately, instantly knew that I loved her. And after that class, I spent a fair amount of time crying because I didn't know who she was. I didn't know what this was. That course lasted 12 weeks. And I invited her to come to the next course as my guest. And although I might not have known it in that moment, the reason that I invited her is because my heart could not bear to not see her for another 3 months. And at least if she came to the class, I would be able to see her once in a while. I still didn't fully understand this, and I'm not sure that she did either at that point. Maybe she did. But when the realization came through that she was receiving the transmissions in the exact same moment that I was, then we did some Zoom sessions to play, to just see what's here. And it didn't take long for us to really understand that we're the same soul. And this is the first time that we've ever been an incarnation on the same planet at the same timeline. So this was a real sense of homecoming for us.
Beautiful, and looks like this to me looks like a love story at a high spiritual level. If you both felt the same through your heart and accepted each other and worked together, it is something like this, amazing, beautiful love affair, but at a spiritual side. It's a different level, etheric level, if I can say so. And to be honest with you, throughout my lifetime, short lifetime on this earth, and through my guests and previous interviews, I've never encountered anything similar. So I am very fortunate to again to meet both of you and share this screen with both of you.
It is our pleasure also to be here with you, Claude. So it has only gotten deeper. It's only become more and more obvious to us who we are, and we're now, instead of me putting together classes and sharing them, now it's us putting together classes, and we share them all. Vivica is an incarnation of the Divine Mother. She speaks amazingly pure light language. Like me, she had a fairly, shall we say, tumultuous childhood and upbringing. And she spent a lot of time clearing her heart in order to restore her original heart tone. And that's what comes through in her light. So the way that we work now is that because we are receiving the same transmission, I will speak the transmission in words in English, and then she will speak the transmission in light. And there's a couple people that I know that are wired very differently from most human beings. They've come to the classes and they've not connected with them, they've not understood. And when they listen to her speak light, they write me and says, "Now I understand. I listen to you and I don't have a clue what you're saying. I listen to her and I go, yeah, okay, now I understand. Thank you."
Yes, I've been exposed to light language on a daily basis in the last 3 to 4 months as I join a community. And those who lead the community, they do speak light language. And my question to you, Vivica, is how did you find that within yourself? And were you amazed and puzzled when you discovered this gift?
It's just a part of embodiment process that when we embodying our soul light, this is like light package. It just starts to open up this remembrance who I am. It's a part of that process. And when I start to remember who I am, it's just start to open up. I start to remember that. And this light, there's so many amazing light language speakers. And this light language that I speak, this is Sophianic language. It's language of mother. And it includes Sophianic zones, and it's connecting directly to our higher heart. And helps awakening our original heart tone, which is connection with Divine Mother heart or heart of all creation. So it's what we do with David. We both speak in light. he just speak light in English or translating in English. And I speak light or mother language. So we both speak in light. It's a little bit interesting. And what coming through both of us, or when we are together, this field, what creates or surrounding us, this is what we really are, this divine love, unity. And when we feel this love to each other, it's just grace, divine love that flowing through us and through other hearts when we are connected in this class. So
yes, so honestly, what I feel right now and what I am, I have to say it, I feel such humbleness in both of you, that I am humble myself right now by just talking to you. Honestly, from my heart, I can tell you that I feel this humbleness and this beauty and love you are exuding. And I don't say this to other guests if I don't feel it. And once again, very honored to have you today.
Thank you so much. And we are also really humbled, and we are so blessed to be here with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. David, I'd like to go back to Mount Kenya for a second. Is that a portal which has escaped anyone tainting it from what you know now?
When the earth was first created, there was just one continent. And when life was formed on the surface of it, there were certain mountain ranges that were raised. There's only two big mountains in really big mountains in Africa, Mount Kirinagar, Mount Kenya, and Mount Kilimanjaro in southern Africa. To the seers of that particular area, and realize that their tradition goes back epoch after epoch. It goes so far back that all of the seers were women originally. And during the shift in the shift in the epochs, they became men. There is a city of light inside of Mount Kenya, Mount Kirinagara, in the same way that there is a city of light inside Mount Shasta. So remember, I live in Northern California in Mount Shasta. She lives in Spain. So the fact of distance doesn't exist. There's no such thing as space. We're actually all three of us sitting this close to each other in reality in this moment. So the movie Black Panther was produced through gleaning certain conversational tidbits from people in Africa, That's not a really far imaginative stretch to believe what's inside of Mount Kenya. Many people have attempted to storm the gates, if you will, and steal their treasures at various points, but they're not treasures. They don't belong to a people. They don't belong to a place. They belong to everybody. Just if you remember the story of the Hope Diamond, that whoever owned the Hope Diamond experienced an unusual and spontaneous death until somebody figured out it's not, cannot be a personal possession, belongs to everyone. And in the same way, there are many, many really tall, 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 tall mountains around the world. Really huge mountains, not even the small peaks, not the small ranges. And there are cities of light contained in a lot of them. And they're just waiting for the right moment to where the frequency changes enough that they're perceivable. So, yes, there are many, many treasures that we would consider to be treasures that are contained inside of there. And you cannot find them. You cannot access them. You can't just, this is Mount Keornog in my background. You can't just walk up on that mountain and find a way in. There is no door. It doesn't exist. And it will never exist unless it's here. Your heart is the door. It's the frequency of your vibration that allows you to perceive things that we consider to be currently non-physical. And so, yeah, it's still really pure.
Good to hear. And I know a story from another guest of mine. He experienced this in Sedona. He's an indigenous person, and someone took him, and through his heart, the rock opened, dissolved, and they're able to get inside and see the wonders the mountain had hidden. But from the outside, there was no door, no physical door, nothing. You really had to open it through your heart, to your vibration and your emotions.
It's the frequency of your vibration. There are many, many, many versions of Earth that are present here now. And every single one of them is only accessible through your vibration. If you want to live in the denser versions, well, that's your vibration. Live in the higher frequency ones, raise your vibration, and you'll discover you're already there.
Yes. And is there any connection between Mount Shasta, Mount Kenya, and the Uluru Formation in Australia? I was told that there are crystals beneath the Uluru, and these were activated several years ago.
So remember, Uluru is a gift from outside of our timeline. And as an entire mountain, it descended onto Australia and it planted its, buried itself deep into the landscape. So it's not from here. It's not native, if you will. It's not indigenous. It is something that the indigenous people of Australia, the Aborigines, brought through. And they're an incredibly unique people unto themselves. The Aboriginal people have DNA that is not present in any other culture in the world, any other race. Everybody else on the place, you can find mitochondrial DNA through the female line, through the feminine line, that connects everybody as being the same racial species, if you will, not the Aboriginal people. They are the original keepers and the guardians of the source timeline. They have always held that timeline steady here in manifestation on the earth. It's changing now. They finish their work, and the elders within their society, they are moving into a higher frequency plane. And now others are not necessarily geographically located in Australia. Now others around the world are taking up the banner of holding that timeline steady, so that there's always beings fully holding that timeline. Direct connection to source consciously and maintaining it always. So when I first went to Mount Kenya, and if you've looked at our website, there's a very large diamond that is present on ev everywhere. So the Kitui people, the Kitui seers, have always spoken that there was a star just off dimension from here that was emitting radiation, and that radiation, its sole purpose was to help evolve human beings. While I was in Kenya, and just before being initiated, that star became visible, and it moved into this dimension. And the very first thing that I saw, because that star is in essence Mount Kenya, but immediately there was this influx of energy into the ancient grid that used to exist before humans distorted it. And it began to undergo, shall we say, a rebirth or a reemergence. But the very first thing that happened is that it connected to Mount Shasta. And from there, then the grid just kind of like an electrical grid. It went out and connected to all of the really, really big mountains. The really big mountains are receivers, antennae, if you will, that receive all of the energy coming from our cosmos, from throughout the universe, from our local sun. And just like a power grid, they step that energy frequency down. So that just like a power grid, it doesn't reach the human beings and blow their nervous systems to pieces. But this is happening everywhere. I've had dreams of being on Mount Kenya and finding a specific spot. And when I'm in that spot, I can see through a portal directly, and I can see what is behind me. I can see Mount Kirinaga. And if you go like this, it disappears. And if you come back, you can see it. So it's a fairly narrow portal, but there's a lot of energy that moves through it. So yes, all three of these are definitely connected, along with a lot of other sites. And at the same time, we're moving into something new. And what that means is our association, our understanding, our comprehension of what a sacred site is changing. It's going to evolve into something new.
Yes, and for most of us, it's pretty scary. And I talk from the perspective of ego, which in theory, a lot of us know what it is and what damage can cause to our spiritual side. But it is so hard to let go. And this was my back and forth with a friend of mine, the discussion we had that she was telling me, yes, you are aware that you have to, let go of a lot of your thoughts that keep you into the three dimension. And the lesson I recently received was your ego has to go, your what else? Your judgment has to go, and other things which I was kind of holding on to. And I knew I had to let go, and it was a lesson in the physical world, very brutal, shocking. And I have to work on that to let go of all the remnants that keep me from becoming who I'm supposed to be and the spiritual side. And this is what we are talking here for us. We are moving into something new, but we are afraid to let go.
That's a normal normal human condition for a human being that possesses some kind of understanding of who they think they are.
Yes.
Who you think you are is not who you are. And what's necessary to let go is very simple. It's everything. It is literally everything.
I was just going to say,
and we don't become anything. We just remember who we've always been. And
yes.
like Neville Goddard says, thoughts be like gangsters. They're trying to steal your awareness of who you really are and convince you that you're something else. Who is Dr. Joe Dispenza did some research that the average person thinks between 70 and 90,000 thoughts a day.
Yes.
And over 70 to 80% of those thoughts are thoughts that they had the day before. There is nothing original going on inside of our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Until we let go and connect to our hearts, connect our brain down to our heart, that's when the magic begins to happen.
I just wanted to say that when we start to remember ourselves as this grace, unconditional love that flowing through all of creation, all these fears and this separation and disconnection start to just dissolve. And when people have these near-death experiences, usually they feel this amazing unconditional love. And this is who we are. In this moment, just all veils are down and we feel this our very essence, who we really are.
Yes. And Vivica, because you had that turbulent past, how did your family embrace the new you, with the new perception, with the ego dissolved, with the spiritual side? What did they say?
My past, I learned from my past this deep, deep compassion and understanding. As I said, in this moment when I had this very first experience of my true self as this love, then I start to remember why I am here, and I start to understand also all these lessons that I went through. And I understand also that we never separated of this love. We never separated. I had also this deep, 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 deep amnesia, spiritual amnesia, and I felt also this deep darkness and separation and self-hatred and depression and whatever we want to name that. But yeah, the moment when we feel, we start to remember.
Yes, and I think another concept we as humans struggle with is what we need versus what we want. And again, what we want comes from the ego. What we need comes from our higher self, spiritual side. How do you think we can reconcile this push and pull?
When we start to connect it with our higher heart, then just our personal desires start to dissolve. And we become this divine will. So we are just aligned with this divine will and we become that. And our decision, then when we make decisions, it's not only for higher for our good, but it's for highest good to everyone.
Yes. David, you want to say something?
As a child being on a swing in a park someplace, and maybe you also had the experience of somebody pushing you, and you and maybe saying higher, higher, higher. And if you were one of those more adventurous kids that at one point at the highest arc of the swing you would jump off, that jumping off point, that letting go point, how easily that you can do that, how gracefully that you can do that, and know and trust that even though you don't know anything, you don't have a clue, you're moving into something that is completely unknown, and it cannot be known with the mind. It can't, it's impossible. The mind is such a small little tiny tool, it can't do this. But we discover that we can become it. And not only become it, we discover this is who we already are and always have been. So the easier it is to jump off the swing, the easier it is. Everybody comes to the edge of the void. Everybody. I don't care who you are. You come to the edge of the void. And do you just leap? Do you jump? Do you jump with joy in your heart going, whoa, this looks like an adventure? Or do you step back a little bit? And there's no right or wrong. Everybody is going to jump sooner or later. It's just a question of when in their moment. I have friends that have made that leap and never, ever once looked back. I spend a while looking back occasionally. I don't look back anymore. There's nothing there. It's a phantom. It's a ghost. It's smoke.
It's always like that. Even when you're going on vacation, you realize why I haven't done it earlier. It's so good. It's so relaxing. The weather is amazing. The water is crystalline. And it's like that with almost every action we take in our life. And the example you gave is wonderful, but you mentioned kids. The moment you become an adult and you go back into that swing, you go up to a level, and after, you'll never say higher. You'll never say higher because now you are heavier and you don't know where the arch will push you. You're going to fall off without accepting the fall or the jump. And that's the fear.
Even if you're filled with all kinds of trepidation, even if you trip and stumble and all of a sudden accidentally, quote unquote, fall over the edge, you're still falling over the edge. And the moment you do, you let go of yourself. So I think it's well known that I've died over 10 times. And we have it completely and totally backwards. We call them near-death experiences.
Yes.
When actually, in reality, they're near-life experiences. Because if we fully go back into spirit, now we know. Now we are who we are. So I'd love to see the language change, but humans still think that we're the skin suits, that we're the bodies that we live in, and not understanding these are holographic projections of our consciousness.
Yes. David, you talk about the Eden template. Is this an energy template that is used to make us remember who we are, or is something else?
can't make anybody remember who they are, number one, to begin with. And number two, the next point is that her and I both carry simultaneously, this is our understanding now, we both have the codes of creation. And what happens is that through especially the very foundational meditation class that we offer, which is Awakening Your Original Soul Blueprint, that it is possible to open up the energy currents within the physical body, but open them up in a way that is gentle, easy, and self-modulated by the consciousness of each individual. So it will never overpower them. But what it does is it restores to them the original template of their soul from the moment that they were first created. And this is not something that I or Vivica and I can give to anybody. We can't. It's not possible. Because it is every single human's birthright. It's who you are. All we can do is offer the energy of the quickening that begins to stimulate that within another person. And then it's up to them in terms of what they do. We can't fix anybody. Nobody can fix anybody. Unless you're at the level of a Christ or a Buddha, yeah, you can do pretty amazing things at that level.
Yes. And we all talk about, please go ahead, Vivica.
I just wanted to say that we just have these codes and this frequency, what we offer and what we are. It's just helping to remember. This like remembrance that's flowing through people's hearts and they start to open up.
And talking about opening up, we all discuss about, you know, the third eye opening, the chakra system, opening the kundalini. Is one more important than the other? So let's say, can we have the third eye opened without having the kundalini awakening and all the other chakras open?
The short answer is yes. Would you want to do that? I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend anybody ever trying to deliberately open their nervous system. It's going to happen in its own time. There are so many occurrences of people that have done specific things to open up their kundalini or to do this, that, them, and the other, whatever it might be, usually with not very pleasant end results. Just trust the fact that Source knows who you are because you are Source. Just trust the fact that when the moment you have already agreed to that you're going to begin to awaken, whether it's a massive spontaneous awakening or a very gentle awakening, that it will be present. Don't ask for powers. Don't ask for cities. If you're meant to have them, they'll come to you. If you're not meant to have them, you're like a dog barking at a cat in a tree. You're not going to affect the cat in the slightest. It's not going to happen. So just relax. And if your natural opening is that you feel guided to come to a class that Vivica and I offer, that there's some support that's available there to you energetically and vibrationally, that's also in your path. So
yes.
be at ease, be at peace, all is well in the universe. It's unfolding it just exactly the way that it's meant to unfold. We can't do this wrong. We can't.
Yes, yeah. There is so much of these days. Yeah. Please go ahead.
We can't force that in any way, because when we try to force, there's always this resistance. But when we surrender, when we just surrender, then this resistance starts to melt away. Because I never didn't, my mind, my human self didn't choose this Kundalini energy awakening. It was my soul. And the same was with this void experience. I woke up in the middle of the night and I just felt that in this moment, I felt that I am in my head. This is me. And I start to feel I am, how I am starting to dissolve to my heart. And for my mind, it was really scary. My mind panicked and tried to resist. And then I just start to relax and relax. And I dissolved to my heart. And then I realized that I am.
Beautiful.
This is what I thought. This is what I thought I am. It's not me. I'm in my heart.
And let me just comment, as she was speaking, that you watched her just begin to dissolve. You watched her just begin to fade into light. That's not there's no lighting going on in her background. This is not a trick of lighting. This is her dissolving back into spirit. And it happens to all of us at one degree or another. It happens to be really prevalent for her today.
Yes, I've noticed that. And in fact, for the last 2-3 days, I've been repeating to myself, I surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. So I have to remember and keep saying that to kind of calm down and surrender.
And I do remember, you're already healed. One of the things that happens with Vivekananda is that anything that we focus on together, and right now, both of us are focused with you. It doesn't matter what it is that we're focusing on. If we're sitting in and we decide to meditate together, it doesn't matter what it is, or to be a guest on your show. Whatever it is that we focus on together in the same moment, there begins to form around us, and I know you can feel this today, there is a field of unity, of union that begins to form around us. We now know that that field is from the I Am Presence, and it is the breath of the I Am, which is grace, which is divine love. And it has the effect of quickening anyone that is in the presence of that field. This is not something that we're doing. You originally commented in the beginning of the show how humble you feel that we are. And that is definitely true. We're not, this is not about bragging about something. It's the furthest thing from that. And yet, the energy that you feel, the quickening that you're feeling, that's who you are, my friend. That's who you are. This is not something we're doing. It is an energy field that is offered freely in service to everyone. Because we are all one being, and we're all here to, as Ram Dass says, we're all just walking each other home. And just, please, just let that come up. Just let that come up, my friend. It is so precious to be able to see this and to feel it with you.
Thank you.
And I can pretty much promise you, your audience that listens to this recording, they will feel it also. to whatever level they're ready to feel, they will feel.
I wanted to say that what is unity, or what we do to each other when we step into a unity field, we become just divine mirrors to each other. So we just reflecting this perfect image of who you are, and you feel and see this reflection of this divine perfection that you are.
Yes, I feel like I'm on that precipice that David mentioned, and is that moment of the decision which way to go, to jump or wait a little bit longer, because I know there is no option for me to step back. That's a no-no.
There's no time, and neither Vivek or I are going to walk up behind you and give you a push. Everybody has to surrender on their own.
Yes. David, on your background, there is the flower of life, such a well-known pattern and design and concept. It's been around for thousands of years. It was discovered on ancient Chinese monuments in India, all over the place. And recently I heard a theory and also some mathematics behind this theory that, in fact, the Metatron code is the real code which offers the option of us, or gives us the option, if understood correctly, to exit the matrix. And the flower of life still had some imperfections. What is your take?
I don't think it has any imperfections, because the pattern can be extended geometrically, excuse me, infinitely. And it shows that everything is connected to everything. There are lines of force, of energy, of love, that connect all of creation. And really and truly, the flower of life cannot be seen. It cannot be seen with human eyes. And even though there's a pattern there that most everybody's going to be able to see the energetic component that is behind it. It cannot be seen with human eyes. You have to look with the eyes of your heart in order to be able to see it fully. I don't feel there's any imperfection in it in the slightest. Any imperfection that may be there is an introduction by human minds.
Thank you. Vivica, now that you are at this level of understanding, and potentially you are able to, if you are curious, to go back and forth in what we call time and see your previous lives, was there one which really marked you and impacted you in this lifetime?
Every lifetime, every lifetime, every lesson. There are always, every lifetime is really important. So there is no just one lifetime. Yeah, I remember only certain lifetimes, not all lifetimes, but we're always learning, and they're also really, really important lessons to learn to our soul.
Thank you. Would you, either one of you, want to mention more about the programs you have and what you offer in order for us to get better of who we are?
Could I respond also to the question that you asked me? This is the lifetime. This is the moment. that everybody that is here, that is incarnation, as a soul, has made the internal agreement, the internal decision. This is the lifetime that we are going to attain what is known as enlightenment. And enlightenment, for me, somebody else may have a different feeling about this. Enlightenment for me is understanding that all of these lives that we've lived, none of them are really us. They are a lifetime that we have projected our consciousness into that incarnation. But that's not who we are. Who we are is the soul that projects itself into all of these incarnations. And we're at the time frame now to where all of the timelines that separate those incarnations from each other so they don't bleed into us and make us crazy. They're all dissolving, they're collapsing. And the consciousness and the gifts and everything that we've mastered, the lessons that we've learned, they're all beginning to return to us. And for me, if you use a definition of enlightenment, it would be the simultaneous awareness of all of those lives that you have projected yourself into and returning them back into the center, which is your soul and your living heart. And I love the Buddhist concept of before enlightenment, a mountain is just a mountain. Upon becoming enlightened, a mountain is no longer a mountain. It is unbelievably magical. And after enlightenment, because enlightenment is just a little tiny, tiny, tiny blip on our journey, and a mountain, again, is just a mountain. And chop wood, carry water. It's not a big deal, but we are at that moment. We are at that moment where we are being energetically supported by the entire, not just this universe, but all the universe, by all of creation. We are being supported to make these shifts. And it's going to be easier than most people think. The outer world, who knows what's going to happen with it? It has to collapse. But
I'm sorry, I tried to disrupt you.
No worries, no worries.
I just wanted to say, I'll talk about this ascension process that in this now, we don't drop our body anymore to ascend. We ascending with our physical body, and what right now happening is this holographic projection. It's right now like happening to me. It's just less and less dense, and more light can project through this holographic projection, and until we just dissolving ourselves in this lower realm.
And we raise the frequency of our physical body by cleansing it, of old programming, et cetera, et cetera. And the frequency of its vibration finally raises to a point that our soul can literally come in, embody itself in the physical. What we do then, that now becomes up to each one of us to choose. Do you want to stay here and live for a long time? Do you want to be like Babaji and live for a long time? Do you want to live like the old biblical prophets and saints? You want to live 900, 1,000 years? It's now it's your choice to choose.
And if we make that selection and that choosing to live hundreds of years, That would be amazing. Why? Because our footprint, or carbon footprint, as they are calling these days, will be almost zero, because at that level, we don't need food. We don't generate any exhaust that can pollute anything around us, at least in my opinion. So we should be able to have that desire.
We should be able to do whatever it is that we wish to do. And I don't think any of us have a clue what is coming, because it's all unknown.
And when we talk about ascension, do you have the 5D in mind and our bodies becoming crystalline, or is beyond our comprehension?
The recent class that Vivica and I offered was changing the DNA structure to diamond DNA. So it feels like there's a progression, and the progression is endlessly going to expand. What it's going to look like past this moment, I can't speak for anybody else. I only know this moment. And past that, I get glimpses. I am a seer, but I can't see too far into what is going to happen, what is coming. I have feelings about how magnificent it's going to be, but not about when. I don't know anybody that knows when this transition is going to be here. And as to the fifth dimension, there are multiple versions of Earth that are already here, and they are represented in each and every one of the dimensions. And sometimes there's multiple versions of her in all of those dimensions. And where we choose to live is the frequency of our vibration. That's where we choose to be. So literally, even though I live in Mount Shasta and she lives in Spain, she doesn't live in the same version of Earth that her neighbors do. Because we all live in the version that is the frequency of our vibration. And literally, you can walk down the street and people don't see you, because you're in the same place spatially. You're just not in the same frequency.
And our human eye can't receive this really, really, really high frequencies. Then when we project, when we're talking about the higher beings, many of us don't see them because our human eyes couldn't perceive this so high vibration, and we can't see them. And it's the same what happens to us right now, that this job.
If you want to laugh about that, think about that the next time you're driving down the freeway at 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, pretty dangerous. David, I heard you talk about dragons in a previous interview, and I'd like to touch a little bit on that, because it's a subject which I started writing about it last year. And I also have a friend who lives in Seattle, and he's fascinated with dragons. And because we talk about evolution and frequency, should I assume that we will be able to see them only if our frequency is high, even if we live on, let's say, three-dimensional space?
Dragons left millennia ago because they were being so hostily persecuted. They were being hunted. And dragons, by their very nature, are at least 12-dimensional beings. They are emissaries from Sophionic consciousness. They are emissaries from Divine Mother. And they are returning now, and the reason that they're returning, especially in such vast numbers, is because enough people on the planet have made the shift. Enough people have awakened to such a degree that it has literally changed the frequency trajectory of the collective of this planet. We're not in the same trajectory that we were in a while back, oftentimes referred to as critical mass. And it doesn't take everybody to do that. It's actually quite a small number overall. As one person connected brings more energy than a million that are not. So the dragons are back. They're here to assist us. They're here to become our friends, our pets, if you will, more like our familials. So a lot of the fantasy sci-fi stories of people having dragons to ride, those are all very, very, very possible. But they're such high frequency beings that most people can't perceive them or only perceive them partially. But so many people are now. I hope that answers your question. I'm not sure if I answered it completely.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I mean, they are indeed amazing beings, very wise, and not as dangerous as we perceive them in movies and everywhere else in the literature.
They are carrying qualities of Sophianic consciousness, and it's amazing. There is really, really beautiful, amazing qualities and gifts that they bring. True. And they are part of us, so they are.
Yes. David, Vivica, what other plans do you have for 2024? What else would you offer?
Lots of classes. There are classes coming through so fast that I don't think we're going to be able to teach in all of them. Currently, we're only offering one class a month, but we're going to step that up to two classes a month, simply because the flow is happening so quickly that if we don't offer these classes, or at least record them into videos that people can then download, everything is changing so quickly that they may not be relevant anymore by the time we get around to them. So, just check our website, theedentemplate.com, and you'll always see what are some of the new postings or what are some that are coming that we're thinking about or that we're feeling into. We don't think about them. They're transmissions that come through and they create themselves. And I don't know. I'll let you speak for yourself, Vivica. I don't know that we fully comprehend everything that is coming. It is changing so quickly, and we have a really, really large celestial event happening soon, which is the large solar eclipse here in the U.S. on April 8th. And that is the culmination, the invitation, the opening of a door that became an invitation that began way back in 2017 in the early part of the year, where the solar eclipse went from Oregon all the way to the East Coast. I think it went to Virginia or North Carolina, one of the two. And this is the closing of that doorway. And personally, I'm likening it to a funnel that is the size of the universe, coming down to a point the size of your little fingernail, and allowing all of the energies in the universe to stream down through. And are you receptive to just being in the moment? I've written about it recently that astrologically, it feels as if everybody has the opportunity, even if you don't know what it is, to feel into yourself and discover something that is definitely of your old, and just let go of it completely and step into the unknown and be able to receive what's coming through. the magnitude of this moment, as far as I'm concerned, is a really big choice point.
We
So
all.
go ahead, sorry.
I just wanted to say that we're also offering private sessions. If somebody interesting about deeper
Work on yourself or self, yes, private sessions.
She offers private light sessions. And it's within that context, she's in Central European time. Just need to be aware of the time difference. I also offer sessions, mine are more. Let's go find out where there's some programming that you don't have a clue is running inside of your body and see if it will surface and release. And then we're also offering sessions together, which are really fun, which those are really, really fun. And you can find information on our website. We're discounting them all through April. We're choosing to do that just to celebrate the fact that we know who we are and we found each other.
Thank you. And we are approaching the end of the interview. Any other final thoughts?
Very simply, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Everything that you've been told about who you are is an unkind lie. Everything that you've thought about yourself, that your parents have told you, that your culture has told you, that your religion has told you, that your country of origin has told you, doesn't matter what it is, it's not true. You are source. There is not a single moment that you have ever been separate from our Creator, from God, from Source. Not one single moment. It's never happened. And remember who you are.
Thank you, David.
And you do that through your heart.
And remember also how loved you are. And that you are this love that flowing through all of creation. So there is never no separation of source of or of this love who you are. And
yes.
Many, many blessings.
Thank you. Thank you very much to both of you once again.
Thank you so much for having us. Such a pleasure and privilege to be.
Thank you for watching. Share it, leave a comment. Visit spiritualinspired.ca. And until next time, love and gratitude.